Hello, everyone, and welcome to day four of Jesus Revealed in Purpose. I'm your host, Zintle, and thank you so much for being with us over the past 3-4 days. And I'm joined by Pastor Andrew Sampson for today's topic. Pastor Andrew, hello, and thank you once again for being with us in season two.
Thank you, Zintle, Minister Zintle.
It's
a privilege to be here, and we're really glad to be part of the session. Thank you.
Indeed. And with our season two, our big theme and focus is Jesus revealed in purpose. So showcasing that Jesus is in all of life, and our purpose, our being, everything pertaining our lives is found in and through him. And he's the one that actually gives us our purpose. So for today, our topic that we'll be talking about, Pastor Andrew, is called to be sons and daughters, which I think is a very, very pertinent topic. And we'll be looking at Romans chapter 8 from verse 28 all the way through to 30. And if you may, I'd like to read it and then we can get into it.
Thank you.
So it reads as follows. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Pastor Andrew, obviously in theology, in doctrine, across denominations, there is within this passage, and I think several other passages, there's that contention of just the concept of predestination around whether God chose some or God chose the many or all. And in your view, in your perspective, how do we view this scripture and maybe how we think through it?
Thank you so much, Zinli, for reading that scripture. I'd like to balance, okay, the idea that is brought forth in Romans chapter 8, 28-29, with Ephesians 1 verse 5. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, okay? Mm-hmm. And verse number 5 said, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will.
Yeah.
So what is very important is this scripture in Ephesians 1 verse 5 balances out the idea of predestination, the principle of predestination that's discussed in Romans 8. First of all, predestination is one of the most hotly debated topics, you know, in the Word of God in many Christian circles. But in another side, you know, predestination, or at least the idea brought out from Romans chapter 8, verse 28-29, is said to be one of the sweetest truths in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's something that is so well received in so many of the children of God's lives, in their hearts and their minds, for the fact that they realize God has a plan for your life.
Mm.
God has a purpose for your life. God, in his sovereign free will, had looked upon each of us, and he had opened wide the invitation for us to accept his calling, to accept the fact that we have a design that has been set out for our lives to accomplish the purposes of God in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is very nicely brought out here in this verse 5 of Ephesians, where it actually tells us, you know, how that according to his pleasure and his will.
Yeah.
So the will of God is, remember, for all to be saved, according to 1 Peter. Right?
Yes.
And no one to perish. The other idea is John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
So which means the invitation is open for everyone, all of us, to accept him. And we have to come to the place of acceptance that we have an open invitation from God the Father to be his sons and his daughters.
Yeah, I really like that perspective, Pastor Andrew. And I think then it gives us a fresh and more balanced, as you were saying, perspective around what verses 28 to 30 unpack within Romans chapter 8. Now, I want to just reflect maybe more broadly on chapter 8. And in my study, every time I read the book of Romans and I read it through from chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 8, it feels like a great culmination of what Paul is writing. And you know, it's a really beloved chapter because there's something that it accumulates to. And maybe let's reflect on that, Pastor Andrea, just around, firstly, why this chapter is so beloved, not just maybe amongst the chapters in Romans, but just maybe perhaps across scripture, across the Bible.
Well, most commentaries, Bible commentaries, would say that Romans chapter 8 is the most beloved chapter in the entire Bible. First of all, this chapter has got so much, you know, regarding our redemption, our purpose, why God has called us, who we are. When we look at Romans chapter 8, it's got so many truths in it that are brought out so clearly. For example, it starts off first and it says there's therefore no condemnation. Now, in the Greek version, they say it starts off and it says no, very loudly, and then it says no condemnation.
Wow.
Because condemnation has an underlying sense of judgment to it.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's no condemnation, there's no judgment. So already it starts off, it says, you are not condemned.
Then it goes into
the next verse and it talks about the law of the spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
So it tells us that there's laws that are in place in God's purpose. When Jesus died, he put the law of life into practice, into motion, and has destroyed the law of sin and death through the blood of the cross.
Yeah.
So again, we have to see how that God, you know, has a plan and a purpose here to predestine us into life, not into death. Life and purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have, you know, Romans chapter 8 outlining quickly, you know, that God the Father has predestined us. God the Father spared not his only son, it says. So it tells you what God the Father did. Then it tells you what Jesus did, right? Because it tells us that Jesus has now become, you know, the one that lives inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He has redeemed us. There's no condemnation because of his blood. And then it speaks about the fact that the Holy Spirit, the spirit of sonship,
now lives inside of us.
The Bible says, because we are sons, he has sent the spirit of sonship. The Holy Spirit is called the spirit of sonship sent by God the Father. So every one of us as children of God have the Holy Spirit that brings us into sonship with God the Father through Jesus, his Son.
Wow.
And our relationship with Jesus, you know, is the focal point here. You are redeemed. You are washed in the blood.
Amen.
You are now declared righteous. You are justified.
Yeah.
And now you walk in newness of life in a new covenant. And you have the spirit of sonship, you know, the Holy Spirit that walks inside of you and brings you before the Father. Remember,
right.
It says that we know not how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit brings us to God the Father with things that we sometimes don't know how to speak to God the Father about.
I don't really know what to ask for. Yeah, yeah, I really like that, Pastor Andrew. And I think just the various, there's such a, and obviously true to the topic that we're talking about around sonship and adoption and being then part of this heir, being fellow heirs with Christ and Christ being the first of many. There's a particular structure and a particular model that it's clear that God has in mind in terms of the type of relationship that he has designed for us to have with him through Christ. Especially using those the words around sonship and adoption. Could you please maybe expand on that a bit more, Pastor Andrew?
Well, when we read the verses that speak about the new covenant, when God says, and I will make a new covenant, and then he says, I will be to your father, and you will be to me as sons and daughters. Yeah, God clearly outlines that the church, the house of God, is supposed to be a house of fathers and sons.
Yeah.
It is supposed to be a model of a family structure. It is not, the church is not about members and followers because the father of the house, you know, in this case, Bishop, you know, our spiritual dad, imparts to sons and daughters. We don't impart to followers and members and so, you know.
100%.
I love what somebody said, you know. They said that you can preach what you want to, but you can only impart who you are.
Sure.
So the heart of the father is imparted to sons and daughters.
Yeah.
So the house of God has sons and daughters. Then, as you well mentioned just now, it says that we are heirs of the father, right?
Yeah.
But we are joint heirs with the son.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does a joint heir mean? Okay. If we are only heirs, it means that everyone has a portion of an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Portion A, portion B, portion C, etc. But when you talk about joint heirs, the actual connotation there that is brought out is you don't have access to a little portion of the inheritance,
okay,
but you are sharing all together, all of you, as joint heirs, the entire inheritance, 100% of what God the Father has, what God the Father has prepared for us, what He has laid out in the banqueting table, what the kingdom of God is about. We are joint heirs with Christ, with Jesus the Son.
I really like that.
And it's very nice that in John chapter 17, Jesus says in the high priestly prayer, He says that as the Father loved me, so He loves you.
Yeah.
So which means God the Father loves us on the same equality, spiritual equality level that He loved Jesus the Son. And that's why the Bible says that He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Yes.
Paul prays, I think it's in the book of Galatians, he says, I pray and labor for you that Christ be formed in you.
Mm.
So the purpose of us being sons and daughters of God is that we be conformed to the image of His Son,
Christ.
That Christ is formed inside of us so we can walk in the authority, the power, and the relationship with God the Father as a son.
Wow. Amen to that, Pastor Andrew. How do we then bring this all together? Because we've got issues around there's identity, there's sonship. And then obviously because of the entire season that we're in purpose, how does it all come together?
Well, firstly, let's understand, you know, the purpose of sonship.
Yeah.
Okay. The purpose of sonship, as many Bible scholars would speak of, is identity.
Yeah.
The reason that we have been brought in a relationship of sonship is because we have an identity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once God has now, in His plan of redemption, okay, established us as His sons in the kingdom, okay, we are now to accept our identity. Then we have to realize, because we have an identity, we have purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God always does things with a purpose. Whenever we look throughout Scripture, we look at the Old Testament saints, every time when God did something, I mean, let's look at the life of Joseph, for example, you know. Joseph had a coat of many colors that Jacob placed on him, right? Mm-hmm. But the coat of many colors is said to be a symbol of the covenant that the Father had with the Son.
Yeah.
And when that coat of many colors was placed on Joseph, his brothers envied him, you know?
Yes,
and
yes,
it's exactly what happened to Jesus. You know, when, you know, the God the Father had identified the fact that He's sending His own Son into the earth for the plan of redemption, right?
Yeah.
Satan goes and tests Jesus in the wilderness. Now, many people look at the wilderness experience and they're thinking about, you know, Jesus was tested in the area of prayer and the area of, you know, that aspect of whether He can turn stones into bread and so on and so, whether He'll betray, you know, God the Father. But that test in the wilderness was a test of sonship.
Sure.
What was the first words that Satan said to him? Satan said, if you are the Son of God. This was a test of sonship. So if you overcome the test of sonship, if you understand, you know, sonship, you can overcome temptation.
That's right.
You can overcome every aspect of every kind of situation and test that the enemy throws towards you, because sonship is such a powerful experience.
Yeah.
I love what John Wesley's father said to him. You know, it's recorded, you know, in history that John Wesley's father said to him, and in a letter he wrote, he said, the inward witness, my son, the inward witness of the Holy Spirit is the real proof of Christianity.
Oh, man.
Inward witness, as per Romans 8, speaks about that we have the inward witness that we are sons and daughters of God the Father. The Holy Spirit gives us the inward witness.
Yes.
So it's a powerful thing for us to realize that. Yes. Can I also mention this quickly, right?
Please.
That There was a reason why Jesus brought out the story of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
The prodigal son is one of the most beautiful examples of how God positions us as in a family, and he positions us there for sonship.
Yeah.
Most people focus on the fact that the prodigal went away, he lost his way, he took his inheritance, he spent it, and then he's lost and he's at the end of his life, and he comes back and he says, let me just be a servant. You cannot only be a servant in the house of God. We cannot only be servants serving God, because God did not plan in his purpose for our lives to be servants only. We are first of all sons.
Yeah.
And as sons, we then serve in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So yeah, the father of the prodigal welcomes him with open arms, and he places on him a robe.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, righteousness, right? His own robe.
That's right.
He places on him a ring, speaking about the covenant relationship they have. And he places on him shoes. Shoes speak about access, you know,
where
you're allowed to enter, where you're allowed to. And then he says to the second son, he says, but all that I have is yours.
It's yours, yeah.
In other words, I have missed your younger brother, the one that was away. I've missed his place of sonship at the table. And for God to miss us in our position as sons, in our place at the table, God wants us to operate from a position of sonship.
Yeah.
And when we have sonship faith, we understand our relationship with God so much different. Sons know they have purpose.
Yeah.
And their purpose is to fulfill the father's calling.
Amen.
The father's, if one would say, like most fathers in the natural, right, would build a business and they would build some kind of a career that they hope that their sons would continue with, right? Our Father has a dream. The Heavenly Father has a dream in the earth that the kingdom of God be extended, that the kingdom of God would rule over all the other kingdoms of the earth, that many sons be brought into glory, you know? Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, but we are supposed to be the ones that are brought in. Just as Jesus is the firstborn, he brings us into glory as well, into a relationship of sonship with God the Father.
Man, that's so helpful, Pastor Andrew, and God bless you for just unpacking that. I think, obviously, as we wade through these few days, I think centering ourselves and knowing who we are in the context of God the Father through Christ, it helps a lot with identity issues. It helps a lot with even purpose issues as well. And thank you once again, Pastor Andrew, for just helping us in going through this. And to everyone then that's listening, thank you so much again for listening to us. And really, if you are struggling with identity, if you are struggling with realizing who you belong to, who you are, the answer is in Christ. The answer is in God. You are a son, you are a daughter, called by the Father. And if there are moments where you feel you're far from home, home is still home. And there's still a door for you then to come back. So I pray this was a blessing to you. We are looking forward to what then the next few days will unpack. But thank you so much for being with us 4 days later. God bless you. Please don't forget to like and subscribe us.